Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. We'll read verses 21 through 24 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 24. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for being here at our church. And God, we do thank you for Father's Day. Most of all, thank you for being our Father. Lord, you even said in your word that not only could we call you our Father, but we could call you Daddy. Lord, there are those that their daddy is in heaven and not here on this earth, but every day can be Father's Day with you. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. We do stand in need of you. We're sinful and needy because of that. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives so we could reach more people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
If you'll take your Bible again and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2, I'm going to ask you to keep your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to refer to three or four verses as I talk to you this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, find verse number 21. I feel it needful that I read this to you again, though we've already read it once together. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." If you'll look back at me, please, in this passage of Scripture, we see the suffering of Jesus Christ. In verse 21, it says that he suffered for us. It says, Christ also suffered for us. Then we find out that he suffered as an example to us. So, first of all, he suffers for us. Then he suffers as an example to us. Again, in verse 21, it uses these words, leaving us an example. He suffered as no man. If we took the time to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 2, you would see the Bible says, during the crucifixion process, there was no comeliness about him. In other words, the crucifixion was a very ugly, nasty, terrible mess. And there was nothing about Jesus Christ that was attractive at that time physically. When you looked at him, you were appalled at the suffering that he went through. Now remember, he suffered for us. He suffered as an example to us. He suffered like no man, both spiritually and physically. And then, of all things, he asked us to follow his example or his behavior during our times of suffering. It says in verse 21 that ye should follow his steps. Now, what's the whole passage about? The whole passage is about the suffering of Christ. The whole passage is about the difficulties and the hardships that he was going through. Now, what was his example to us in regard to suffering? Well, let me show you. In verse 22, it says, while he was suffering, he did no sin. So, in other words, he was living right while going through a tough time. In verse 22, again, it says, neither was guile found in his mouth. what was happening while he was suffering. While he is suffering, his speech was proper. While he was suffering, his speech was positive and uplifting. Now let's go on. Again, his example to you and I while suffering, it says he reviled, though he was reviled, he reviled not again. In other words, he was not vengeful. People had struck out at him, but while he was suffering, he did not strike back at them. Now, we go to verse number 23. While he was suffering, the Bible says, he threatened not. I mean, they're beating him, they're crucifying him, they're hurting him, but he didn't threaten them back. There's no place on the cross where Jesus said, you bunch of dirty, low-down, good-for-nothing, scumball sinners, I'll get you back. Anyway, that wasn't Jesus. If I remember correctly, all he said was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So he is giving to you and I an example of suffering. Remembering, he suffered for us. He suffered as an example to us. He suffered like nobody ever suffered. So I don't care how much suffering you're doing, he suffered more than you. While he was suffering, he said, now, I'm giving you an example. And I want you to follow my example, well, when you go through your times of suffering. So, he didn't sin while he was suffering. His speech was proper while suffering. He was not vengeful while he was suffering. And we see here the innocent suffering for the guilty. And then, as a result, he provided healing for us all, the Bible says. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Life includes suffering for all of us. There's no way around it. You can't run from it. You say, well, I'll leave here and I'll go to another state where I won't have to suffer. No, you'll suffer there too. You are going to suffer. There's no way around it. Can I explain it all? No, I cannot. We just live in a sin-cursed world. You all heard this morning in Sunday school, those of you who are smart enough to be in Sunday school, you heard this morning, you heard that there was a fall of man. As a result of the fall of man, there was a cursed place on the earth and mankind. And I've got news for you. We will suffer until we get to glory and all suffering will cease. But you can't run from it. You can change locations, but if there was something that God wanted you to learn from suffering, you'll suffer there. You cannot escape the college of God. And if there's colleging and training that you are to be receiving from the difficulties that you're going through, you can transfer to any state in the union or any church in that state, but you're not going to get out of the training that God wants you to receive. Jesus showed us how to react and how to behave in difficult times and in suffering times. I would like to better describe it to you today if I can. I want to show you something. I have a raw egg here. Inside it, there's that ooey gooey soft stuff. There's that egg. I not only have a raw egg, I have a carrot. What's up, Doc? I have a carrot. There's the carrot. Not only do I have that, I have some Folgers coffee. Makes me want to put a pant between the cake and gun. If you see someone slip out every once in a while from our church, they're spitting. That's what it is. Okay. I've got some coffee grounds. I've got a carrot. And I've got a raw egg. Now, if we took these three items, the egg, the carrot, and the coffee, and we put them through a process called boiling, you know where you have hot water in the pan, you have fire. We're going to put these three pieces through the boiling process. And after we put the heat to them, and after we watch the hot water splash around on them and overtake them, if you will, and heat them up and change them and put pressure on them, I wonder what would happen to these three items. What's going to happen to the raw egg? What's going to happen to this carrot? What's going to happen to these coffee grounds? I'll show you. I have an egg here that's been through the process, boiling. It's now considered a hard-boiled egg. Well, you know, it's not mushy anymore. And when I open that thing up, no slimy stuff comes out. It's got that yolk in the middle. It's cooked. It's what we call hard-boiled. Also, I have here a carrot. My carrot has been boiled. And to be quite honest, it is falling apart. This carrot that I'm holding, it's not like the raw carrot. Raw carrot's strong. This carrot has lost its oomph. And just so you know, it really broke in three pieces. And I played Dr. Owens and put toothpicks in here. I built a splint. I took Boy Scouts. I knew how to put my carrot back together. That's my wilted carrot. Not only that, after putting the egg through the boiling process, it became hard-boiled. After putting the carrot through the boiling process, it becomes soft and mushy. Then, put the coffee through the same boiling process, and I got a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's just right. You say, why are you doing this? Because I wanted a cup of coffee in the pulpit today. That's why. The egg is now hard-boiled. It's hard on the inside. The carrot, you see, it's been boiled in the hot water, and now it's limp. It is falling apart due to its softness. It is soft. It has no form. It's had the life cooked out of it. The coffee grounds, once brewed and put through the boiling process, it smells rich, tastes full. You know what? The boiling process was the coffee's friend. Listen, each item reacted differently to the hot water. Each faced the very same boiling hot water. And so you know, Christians can respond the same to some of the fiery trials that life brings upon us. When the boiling element of life comes our way, and it does, and it will, if it's not affecting you today, it will get you this week or next month or sometime you will face the heat of life. And when we face the heat of life, you and I as Christians will respond like the egg, or we'll respond like the carrot, or we will respond like the coffee grounds. Which one are you? Which one are you as a result of the burden or the heartache of life that's come your way? Are you an egg? Hey, Christian, have you become hard on the inside? Are you dry, spirited? You ever grab an egg yolk and eat about four or five of them at one time? You'd be going, duh, duh. You'd be sucking wind. Dry. Hard. Christian, are you dry and hard? Have you become hard-boiled because of the difficulties of life? Or maybe, Christian, you've become like the carrot. The carrot is limp. The carrot has a wilted way about it. Do you have a wilted spirit? Is your spirit just about totally drained to where you're limp and dead and virtually lifeless? Or maybe you're like the coffee. Maybe you're like the coffee grounds. Maybe your circumstances were turned into a marvelous aroma and a rich-tasting delight. Notice the coffee, the heat, brought something out of the coffee. It drained something from the carrot. It made the egg hard. Hey, what heartache or burden do you face? Is the heat of life, is it turned on high right now for you? Will you allow the heat of life to make you into something better or to break you down and to render you useless? Let me tell you the difference between the Christians that make it long-term and the ones that don't. Usually it's the heat of life. You say, what heat? I don't know. Whatever heat is brought your way. The heat of life may come at you in one way and come at me in another. The devil's just searching for whatever it is that he can throw at you to get you out of church, to get you away from God, to make you hard-boiled, or to tear you up to the point where you're limp and lifeless. He's just looking for something to stop you. It doesn't matter to him what it is. It really doesn't. You say, well, I got hit with something that's affected me so much and I never expected it to come my way. And the devil said, gotcha. I gotcha. Hey, is the heat of life turned on high in your life right now? Will you allow the heat to render you useless, either by being so hard because of your heartache or so soft because of your heartache that you're no good to anybody? Or will you let it bring the best out in you? Stay with me if you will, please. Let me ask this question, Christian. Number one, are you facing suffering that has been allowed to produce a hard-boiled, egg-type Christianity in your life? See, the egg started out, and it was frail, fragile a bit, tough on the outside, but tender on the inside. Its outer shell protected a soft liquid interior. You used to have a soft heart, but you allowed some trial of life to cause your heart to get hard. Your outer shell looks the same as you fake it. But on the inside, you're hard, you're dry, and you're cold. Your heart used to be tender toward the things of God. Hardship came along. A trial of life came along. Difficulty came along. And you tightened up. You became brittle. And you let that hardship and the boiling of life cook you into a hardness that's very unhealthy. Psalm 95, verse number 8 says this: harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. God is saying, Christian, you be careful now. You will face hardship. You will face the fiery trials of life. You will face heartache. You will face burden. But you make sure you don't let your heart get hard like that hard-boiled egg. Don't let that happen to you, Christian. Hebrews 3:15 says, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. I sat in the midst of a mass of people here today. Behind every face, there's a heart. Behind or in every heart, there are burdens and there are heartaches. We all come to church, we all look at one another, and we smile, and we greet one another, and thank God for it. But let me say, behind those faces are potential heartaches, and sometimes we can let those heartaches make our heart cold, make our heart dry, make our heart hard. And God said, Christian, when the heartache comes, when the heat is turned on, don't let your heart get hard. Are you hard toward God? Are you hard toward the Holy Spirit of God? You remember back when your heart was tender and soft. You remember back when the Spirit of God would speak to your heart. You remember back when God didn't have to beg you to walk the aisle. He didn't have to beg you to make decisions. You remember back when the slightest touch of the Holy Spirit of God brought conviction in your life. You were so tender. You were so kind. You were so soft toward God's moving. And now you can sit and something's happened in life and you've become cold. You become hard. You become dry. And it doesn't matter how the preacher preaches. It doesn't matter what the Spirit says. You're going to sit there like a bump on a log. You're a hard-boiled Christian. What happened? What happened? Are you hard toward God's Word? Remember back when your heart was soft and you read the Word of God and tears came down your face. Remember back when you'd read the Word of God and it seemed as if it were a love letter written from your Heavenly Father to you personally. And you'd read it and your heart would skip with joy as the Spirit of God would take you a walk through the garden of the Word of God. And it just made you soft and tender. But now, I don't get anything out of it. I don't even read it anymore. Hey, are you hard toward the preaching of the Word of God?
Are you hard toward that preaching? Is your heart hard toward the preaching of the Word of God? Remember back when you heard a preacher that stood up and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and it pricked your heart immediately, and you said, "That's how preaching ought to be. That's what preaching's supposed to be. That's old-time religion preaching." And you said, "That's good." Hey, but you know what? Your heart's hard now. You've been through some difficulties in life. You let your heart get all calloused. You let your heart get all calloused and hard, and now, as a preaching comes, you sit there, you can sit through service after service after service, and it doesn't affect you anymore. You're calloused. You're numb. What's happened? Has a fiery trial drained you of the softness? Have you become hard? Are you hard toward God's man? Are you hard toward God's people? Are you hard toward doing what's right? Let me warn you something, folks. Hard-hearted people get themselves into trouble. Hard-hearted people start making bad decisions in life. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:14, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." You know what that means? Your hard heart will cause you to make bad decisions in life that will cause further hurt in your life. When you let your heart get hard, your heart's not sensitive to the Word of God. Your heart's then not sensitive to the preaching. Your heart's not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And then your mind is weakened because of your hard heart. And you start making decisions that are going to cost you more than you want to pay. Take you deeper into sin than you wanted to go. Keep you longer than you wanted to stay away. Has the heat in your life started to change, or to has it started a chain reaction of bad decisions? Did you become hard on the inside? Maybe it was at the time of the death of a loved one. Listen, folks, you and I have no control over life or death. Someone's passed. You've been angry at God. You've been angry. And your heart became cold. And it became hard. And God bless those of you who have lost a loved one to death. Most all here have. But God never intended that loss to cause your heart to become hard. No, that's not what God wanted. God didn't want you to become hard-boiled on the inside and angry at life and angry at God. Hey, was it a financial loss that brought your hard-nosed attitude? You lost your job. You became hard over it. You lost your house because of the economic downswing, and now you're hard. Nobody can talk to your heart. You've got a hard heart. Was it the breakup of your marriage? And I feel for anybody that's lost their mate. I feel for you. God bless you. But let me tell you something, lady. Let me tell you something, sir. Don't let your heart get hard. Don't let that thing ruin you for life. There is life after that marriage. You can go on and have a successful Christian life for God. Was it the rebellion of a child? Did a child break your heart? You knew, hey, you did what you could. You reared them the best you knew how. And then they wandered and went out and got in trouble anyhow. Got out of church and they're not serving God. Oh, my Christian friend, let me beg of you. Yes, your heart hurt. Yes, you were embarrassed. Yes, you felt let down in life. But don't let your heart get hard. Don't become a hard-boiled Christian. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Did you become hard? Did your heart become hard because maybe something has happened and the burden came and the heat came and life began to boil around you and you said, "I'm being overwhelmed by the heat." Are you hard and so hard that nothing moves you? Has your hardness become your emotional armor? I got hurt and I'm never going to get hurt again. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God uses hurt to make us into something. While you're busy rejecting the hurt and saying, "I'm not going to allow it," you're, number one, you're hurting yourself. And number two, you're not learning from some of the pain. You say, "Well, I deserve better." No, Jesus deserved better. And he said, "I'll give you an example. I'll show you how to suffer." He suffered as no man. He was busy suffering for you and for me. He said, "I'll do it for you. I'll do it as an example to you." And he said, "You're going to suffer." Are you so hard that your joys, the joys of your Christian life are rejected by your hardness? Has your once tender heart became tough? Had your tears been boiled away? What hurt of your childhood has produced a hardness that makes you hard to get along with? What soured relationship of life has created a hard-boiled attitude in your mind? What heated disappointment of life has cooked your emotions until they are tough and not tender? You know what it's like if you overcook a piece of meat? That's exactly how some of you are. You've allowed an overcooking of your emotions and your spirit, and you're hard-boiled, and you're tough to get along with, and everything in life is just tough, 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 hard. Let me say something to you, my friend. Hardship is going to come. God never intended for any hardship to make you so tough that you can't submit to God, you can't submit to other Christian people, and you're just a total difficult person to get along with. That was never God's intent. Are you the hard-boiled egg Christian? Is that you? No burden has ever been allowed in a Christian's life to harden their heart. It was there to make our hearts more moldable. And so question number one, have you become a hard-boiled egg Christian? Did the heartache come? And now are you dry and cold and hard on the inside? I love this. A wife was making breakfast of fried eggs for her husband. Suddenly, her husband burst into the kitchen. He said, careful, put in some more butter. Oh my, you're cooking them, oh, way too many at once. Too many, turn them, honey. But we need more butter. Oh my, where are we going to get more butter? They're going to stick. Careful, I say careful. You never listen to me when you're cooking. Never, he said. Turn them. Hurry, turn them. Oh, don't forget the salt. You always forget the salt then. Use the salt now. Now. The salt. The wife looked at him and stared at him and said, what in the world is wrong with you? You think that I don't know how to fry a couple of eggs? The husband calmly replied, no, I just wanted you to know how it feels when I'm driving. Glad to know you heard that, Brother Davis. Listen to me, my friend. Jesus Christ came and He suffered. There's a lot that was attached to that suffering. He knew that you and I, as born-again Christians, would walk in His steps, which meant there'd be some suffering. He said, and before I go, I'll show you how to do it. There is a way that a Christian can suffer by the grace of God and with the help of God that is done with a certain amount of spiritual dignity. He said, whatever you do when the hardship comes, don't you become like that hard-boiled egg where you're hard and cold and dry. But secondly, are you suffering? And is there suffering? And have you allowed the suffering to produce a limp, wilted, soft, carrot-type Christianity? That carrot has been boiled. It's limp. It used to have resolve. It stood erect. It had a certain attractive strength to it. It was not wishy-washy, but solid, predictable. The boiling and the heat rendered it soft, mushy, undependable, and limp. Have you allowed the fiery trials of life to steal your strength? Are your emotions like Jell-O? Some of your emotions are like Knox blocks. Y'all know what Knox blocks are? What else do they call them? Somebody help me here. Jigglers? How many have you ever heard of jigglers? Will you raise your hand? How many have you ever heard of Knox box? Will you raise your hand? How many of you are breathing air? Would you raise your hand? Okay, thank you. Like Jell-O. Are your emotions like Jell-O? Listen to me. Psalm 109, verse 22 says this, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. And you better be very, very careful with that heart. You better not let it get all beat up to the point that it just melts in your hand. Psalm Proverbs 18, verse 14 says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Are you so soft now that the devil intimidates you out of doing anything spiritually productive for God? Did the heat in life come? And have you allowed yourself to get so low with the heat of life, and you allowed the heat to just affect you and eat at you and eat at you and eat at you and eat at you till it's cooked the life out of you? Are you spiritually like a soggy bowl of cereal? You ever poured a bowl of cereal and put milk on it and then heard the wife call saying, "Honey, I need some rye bread." Took it 7.5 in the toaster. 2 pieces. No heel. No butter. The organic spread. Smeared like icing on top. So while you may be in this scenario, which most of you were not, but I was, while you were busy taking care of 2 pieces of rye bread, 7.5 on the toaster, icing spread across there, your cereal got salty. Is that what you are on the inside? Soggy cereal? A limp carrot? A bowl of Jell-O? Do you consciously tear off the scabs of life and your own wounds, keeping your attitude in life anemic and unproductive for God? Can I tell you something? Sometimes I've just got to heal and go on. If not, I'll be a has-been. If not, I'll be a casualty. The healing is available to the Holy Spirit of God. The healing is available to the Christians that will allow the Word of God and the preaching of God to season their sin-sick soul like the balm of Gilead. But the Christian must be willing to take the medicine. The Christian must stop pulling the scab off and causing the pain to resurface. Do you consciously tear that scab off? Is your spiritual drive limp? Is your life full of self-pity? Is your desire to succeed soft? Has your muscle turned into marshmallow Christian? Is your spirit diluted like the ice that's placed in a cup to keep the drink cold, but you let it all melt down? For long it tastes more like the ice than it did the drink. And that's some of your spirits. Some of your spirits have been affected. Some of your spirits, the difficulty of life came. And what happened was you just let something overwhelm and dilute your spirit. Has your boldness become mush? Have you no backbone for God anymore? Have you become yellow? Does the smallest issue of life now overwhelm you? Is your Christian courage that of a wet noodle? Are you constantly ready to quit on a daily basis and every hour in the day? Do you run instead of stand? I spend my life with hurting people. I know what they need to be told. The hardship with a sermon like this is it's reality. We tend to get hard and cold and dry, or we tend to get too soft and mushy and no backbone. God never intended that. He said, what did God want? God wanted us to have a balance. God said, you got to have some toughness like the egg on the outside, but you got to be soft like the egg on the inside. There's a balance that's to be achieved, and the devil's always pushing the ticket, trying to eat you, get you to become hard and nasty or soft and so pliable you'll mold to the devil's wishes. I remember it was my privilege for almost 18 years to be under the ministry of Dr. Jack Hiles. I remember one day when he said to me, he said, Jeff, you're a young man, you're a young preacher, and you're tough. He said, you're tough. He said, there's a certain hardness about you. He said, but I feel very strongly that God wants to use you, and He wants to use you in an above average way. He said, so I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to warn you, God's going to break you down. You're going to go through it, son. He began to weep. He said, I hate the thought of what you're going to go through. He said, but it'll come. Then he said, Jeff, there's 2 routes you could go. It can make you harder or mean. Or it can break your heart so much that you become so soft that you'll become totally useless and you'll lose your conviction and your drive and your fire. He said, don't let either of those two happen. Look for a unique blend. When you're in the fire, make sure that the pottery is cooked and it's strong, but it's moldable. So whatever you do, don't let the hardship of life make you angry and mean and nasty and old and vile. He said, but whatever you do, don't let the hardship of life make you so soft that you'll go along with anything. Keep your convictions for God, but keep them with a tear in your eye. Keep your conviction for God, but keep them with the softness in your heart. And I am not there yet, but I have been through the fires of life. And I testify on behalf of my God, I have tried not to lose my conviction. Be tough, be strong when it's time. But you're looking at a preacher who loves people. And my heart is tender toward God. I have no animosity in my heart toward anybody on the face of this earth. My vilest enemy, I'd give them the shirt off my back today. I was warned. May I say to any Christian here that wants to be used by God, you're going to go through hardships. Don't let them make you hard. But don't let them make you so soft. You're worthless. Right. Have you become limp in your stand for right? Have you become so soft that you're now a liberal? Do you have no backbone to stand for what used to be your convictions? And just so you all understand something, the hardships may come. The old church may go through some difficult days, but I'm still an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. I've not changed what I stand for. I still believe in the old black book. I still believe you're supposed to live right and do right, and you're supposed to live for God, and Christians are supposed to be holy. But if you sit here today and your heart's broken, I'd be glad to help you. I hate sin. And I love those who have been beaten by the sin master. God never intended for the hardship in your life to kick the strength and stamina out of you. Has your own failure kicked you down to nothing? I think so often of the story of Peter. Thank God for the Apostle Peter. He, as you know, as Jesus was traveling toward the false trial and the mockery and the crucifixion, Peter followed afar off. Peter, he followed afar off and he got a bad attitude and he started giving up on God and he denied Christ and he cussed and he swore and he said, I'm not a part of that mess. He denied Christ. But I thank God he made a comeback. His own error, his own sin could have either made him hard for God or so soft he was unusable that Peter said, I got to get this thing together. I got to make sure that I stand for right, but I do it in the right way. And you see Peter come back the day of Pentecost after having stumbled and fallen flat on his face. He came back with a vengeance and said, I'll keep everybody out of hell that I can. But there was a humility about him when it came. Jesus did not let the mistreatment pointed toward him cause him to become a spineless, whimpering baby. He suffered with a dignity. It didn't make him hard. It didn't make him so soft he was useless. Let me say in closing, but closing takes longer than you think. Let me say number three, suffering. Has suffering come that's allowed the cause, the coffee, to become useful and to reach its potential? See, the coffee grounds started out somewhat useless without hot water. The coffee grounds demanded hot water. The hot boiling water didn't destroy or weaken those grounds. The hot water created a wonderful aroma when combined with those coffee grounds. The grounds were barren originally. They were dry originally. Somewhat useless. What else could you use them for? The hot water brought them to life. Hey, Christian. The coffee actually changes the hot water from being destructive into being productive. The hard times caused the coffee to change that which surrounded it. The hard times help the coffee to find and fulfill its purpose in life. And may I submit to every Christian here, the hardships that come in our life, God knows what's going on. You say, did it come from the devil? Did it come from God? I don't know where it all comes from, but I can tell you this. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And nothing comes into a Christian's life without God knowing that it's coming, which means this. Every hardship you face, God intended that it be used to further your ministry, to make you into something that you're not already.
1 Peter 1:11 says, Searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
Here the Bible said suffering came. It came for Christ. But God said, don't you forget the glory that followed. Hey, Christian, you may go through some sufferings. You may go through some hard times. You may face some difficult times. But don't forget the glory that can follow.
Zechariah 13:9 says, and I will bring the third part through the fire. And I will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Here the Bible says God's people would be brought through the fire. And the fire's purpose is to refine you. Whatever you're going through, whether it is self-inflicted pain, pain inflicted by somebody else, or you say, I don't even know where that came from. It hit me out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it. It's been allowed in your life to refine you. It's been allowed in your life to cause the impurities of life to raise to the top of your spirit so the dross can be drawn off and you'll come forth as gold, made better by the fire, not worse.
The coffee faced the same heat others did.
You listen to me. What are you going through right now? I'll guarantee you somebody else has been through it. And you say, well, if you were going through what I was going through, you'd have a bad attitude too. Others have been through it, didn't have a bad attitude. Jesus went through worse. Came forth as gold. The coffee didn't let the heat break it, but let the heat make it. Is God brewing a great work in your soul? The circumstances that actually bring pain can produce eventual enjoyment. Ask a lady who's giving birth to a child. She goes into the jaws of death to bring that baby forth, but the minute she hears that cry and the minute she fondles that baby and holds that baby up close to her, the joy comes. The heat produces a heavenly coffee aroma in life. Ephesians 5, verse number 2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Coffee. I woke up early this morning. I've got an automatic coffee maker that's got a little thing. I can set it and tell the coffee to be done when I wake up. Boy, there's nothing like laying there in bed and going, smelling that coffee. God said, Christ, His suffering and the heat that He went through smelled good because of His proper behavior during the suffering. It was a sweet-smelling savor to God. You and I, the difficulties that we go through, they should smell good to God. The heat or the hardship in our lives should change us for the better. If God's will is percolating in your life, let it make you into something more useful. Jesus' suffering made Him greater. Is God trying to take you to the next level in your Christianity? Jesus' death led to a victorious resurrection. His suffering purchased our salvation. Your suffering could purchase something for somebody you love. Jesus' proper behavior and attitude while suffering made Him sweeter to us all. Hey, let me ask you a question. Is your suffering making you sweeter to those around you? Or have you become bitter and sour in their presence? Jesus did not become bitter and hard.
like a boiled egg. Jesus did not become soft and wimpy like an overcooked carrot. His suffering made him just right. That's just right. The first bed was way too hard. The second bed was way too soft. And the third bed was just right. You remember the story from your childhood? And the difficulties of life, they're going to come upon you, and they're going to come upon me, and they're going to come, and you're going to get through one, and then years and months later, you will go through another. You let any gray hair stand up in this auditorium and they'll tell you, we do not escape the difficulties of life. The people who make it through the difficulties face them scripturally and realize they've come to me. I'm going to have to face it. I'll not let it make me hard. I'll not let it make me soft and useless. I want it to be just right in my life. I want to suffer as a Christian and I want to be a good example. I want to do it just right. See, the suffering caused more to happen for Jesus, not less. Paul's suffering made him more useful. Paul's suffering did not make him too soft or too hard. Daniel's suffering made him more useful for God. Not make him too soft or too hard. David's suffering made him more useful for God. It didn't make David too soft or too hard. Jeremiah's suffering made him more useful to God. He didn't allow it to make him too soft or too hard. Esther's suffering in her day, she didn't allow that suffering to make her too soft or too hard. Hey, God used it and she allowed it to make her more usable. Moses' suffering did not make him too hard or too soft. It made him just right.
You know, something I want to be God's cup of coffee. I want God to be delighted in the aroma of my behavior. I want others to see God's proper strengths and a blend of weakness that is a balance in the Christian life that this whole world is starved and hungry for. I don't want to be too hard. And I don't want to be too soft. I like to live my life in such a way when God looks down and says, that's just right. Jeff, that's just right. Stay tough so you can stand for right. Stay soft so you stand for right the right way. I want to be a delight to my brethren. I don't want you to be ashamed of me. I want you to look at your pastor and say, look at him. One day he's up, another day he's down. He can't control himself. Where's the Spirit of God in his life? When I walk out that door and come on this platform, I want you to be able to look and say, he's steady. He's steady. God's good. The God that anchored him can anchor me. If he can do it, I can do it. Let me tell you something, folks. If a little old Jeff Owens from the cornfields in Indiana can do it, anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. I want my brethren to find a certain delight in the coffee. I want the weak to find a certain delight in the coffee. But most of all, I want my God to take a big old deep breath and say, oh, the aroma. The heat produced something that smells good and tastes good in life for me. You see, if we're not careful, we'll end up like the boiled egg. Hard, dry, and useless. Or maybe we'll end up like the carrot. Wimpy. Wet noodle Christians. But let's try to let that coffee be an example to us. Let the heat bring the potential out of the coffee. And let them combine forces to become what God wants them to become. He suffered for us. He suffered as an example to us. Many said, follow in my footsteps. He said, while I was suffering, he said, I did not go into sin. While I was suffering, there was no guile coming forth from my mouth. While I was suffering, people attacked me. They reviled me, but I didn't revile again. I did not threaten. The innocent suffered for the guilty and provided healing for us all. If you've listened to what I've said today, you've been helped. The medicine has been prescribed. Now you're just going to have to let it do its work. Are you too hard? Then you and God get together and get your heart softened up. Are you too soft? Then you and God get together and toughen up a little bit before you fall apart. Work at getting it just right. The difference between long-term Christians and short-term Christians is basically the sermon I've preached to you today. The devil doesn't care if you're too hard or you're too soft as long as he takes you out. And he doesn't care what causes it. Just as long as he takes you out. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is your heart hard toward Jesus? Or do you have yourself convinced you're such a rotten, dirty sinner that he could never save you? Let me explain something. You are a sinner, but he could save you. I don't care how bad a sinner you are. He can save you. But you be careful not to become hard and arrogant and hard toward God. You need the Savior. Some wonder if the Savior could love you and others. You're so cocky and arrogant, you don't think you need a Savior. You better get it just right. You better realize you need a Savior and He can save you. Get it just right and come to Jesus and let Him save you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.